Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
In today's episode, we're speaking to the fantastic Maddie, the CEO and founder of Little Dreamers.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Here we are in beautiful, freezing cold Melbourne.
We're back together. We've been on Zooming the last couple of weeks for illness and house sales and everything. So it's good to be back together.
The band is back together.
Yeah, it's great. And we've got someone fabulous to interview today. Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Hi, I'm Maddie. I am very excited to be here. I have grown up as a young carer for both my brother and my mum, and I'm now founder and CEO of Little Dreamers. And I'm just pumped.
Yeah, great. Well, we are going to find out all about you and Little Dreamers and tell the world all about you.
And also, very important to note, Maddie does barrack for St Kilda, so clearly a good kindred spirit.
Obviously.
Fantastic. Yep. Right, so let's start with our questions.
Yep. Okay, so do you have a favourite band or music, something that like pumps you up when you're happy or lifts you up when you're sad?
I'm a really big country music fan. And so I have a wide range of country music that I listen to, and I think there is a perfect country song for every single mood.
Yes. Oh, there is.
Ever. Yeah.
So have you got one specifically or?
I'm a big Luke Bryan fan, and I'm a big Kelsey Ballerini fan. So they both have a mixture of kind of a variety of different songs. But I have also seen Keith Urban in concert,
oh, wow.
And I'm like a big, like very dorky Keith Urban fan.
No, I like him.
Yeah. I don't know a lot of his music, but when he was on,
The Voice.
The Voice or something. I was like, he seemed like a really nice person.
I was, I loved him. We are going to the Chicks.
We are going to the Chicks.
Oh, cool.
We are big fans of them. So, we cannot wait to belt out every single song.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very jealous.
Mm. Yeah. We've been to all their concerts pretty much. So, been big fans since the 90s.
Yeah. I was like,
amazing.
How old are they? They're my age.
Yeah.
Like, I keep thinking they're like 35.
Yeah, no.
They've aged as well.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So did you win any awards at school?
I was school captain in year 12.
Right.
I won a lot of sports participation awards.
Uh-huh.
And like, thanks for coming last, ribbons.
You tried. You turned up.
I did. And I was actually cultural captain in year 11. Oh. So cultural captain, we basically got to be the conductor of our schoolhouse choir competition.
Right.
Which was really
pitch
fun.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. And as and that year, my schoolhouse won the choir competition, so I got to be conductor of the winning schoolhouse
That's
choir
literally that a dream come true.
That is.
My girls used to do – that was called House Music Showtime. Yep. And it was – at the start, everyone was like, and by the end, so serious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we want to win.
And I was in an a cappella chorus for 5 years, and I know that I was a Sweet Adeline, and I know the pressure of the people conducting. It's huge.
That is quite an achievement.
Yeah, you've got to keep everyone together.
Yep.
Yes, it was. It was really fun and very nerve wracking. But
good award.
Yeah, very, very fun.
Good achievement. Everyone was on the risers, like. I can't just picture it all.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. We sang Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, wow. That's an awesome song.
And is it like the principal, a weird teacher that nobody really knows, and then the music teacher that judges, or is it all the kids?
No, there was a judging panel.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think it was the principal, the music teacher, and someone else.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the house, like whoever was head of the houses. Right. I don't know. It reminds me a little bit of Harry Potter.
Yeah. Yes.
And our year level was the first year level they brought in actions. So you had to do at least one.
Oh, yeah, I know them.
Yep.
Yeah. So you had three songs you had to do. One was the set song that house had to do. Yes. And then I actually can't remember what our set song was, but the other two songs we did were Eye of the Tiger and I'm Yours by Jason Mraz. And Eye of the Tiger was the song that we chose to do the actions.
What did you do?
Did you do like the claws or...
I can't remember, but I reckon my mum has a video on
Yeah, I was going to say, is it on YouTube? We can go and find it.
I was like, you have a couple of wines and that song comes on the bar, you'll be like, I remember.
We walked back up the aisle to that song,
did
Darren
you?
And I. Because it was his favourite song. And so he's going like this up the aisle.
Oh, punching his
hilarious. Anyway.
Anyway, sorry.
Let's move on.
Our favourite question. Why are you a P or part of the P community?
I think there are so many different reasons.
Yeah.
I love being a part of such a special community.
Yeah.
And I think that it's underestimated how important a community is and how impactful a community like this can be in the lives of families and young people and adults and children and every kind of thing in the middle. So I don't know, I can't pinpoint one particular reason, but I am so honored to be a part of this community.
Fantastic.
All right.
So tell us a little bit about, where do we want to start?
Well, how did you get into this?
Yeah.
Great question to start with. I grew up as a young carer for my brother and not most recently, but my mum. From a very young age, my brother is 2.5 years younger than me, and he's been in and out of hospital since he was 6 months old. So I really know no different, really. And he was a very, very sick little boy. He has a range of chronic health conditions. So he has epilepsy, encephalitis, fibromyalgia, and adrenal insufficiency, and asthma. And he's got a lot of allergies and everything in the middle as well. And my brother Charlie, he has an immune system that is not great. So he used to catch everything. So when I was younger and I got the chicken pox, I gave them to my brother, and then the chicken pox went to his lungs and he ended up in hospital.
Oh, yeah. Goodness, Maddie. Yeah.
And so for me, I grew up, my brother, the beautiful, hilarious, funky little man that he is. Well, he's not little anymore. He's taller than me now. Mm. But he was the center of everyone's universe. Mm. And
keeping him safe.
Fair enough too. Mm. Exactly. Fair enough too. He was always sick. He needed a lot of cotton wool around him as a kid. But that made me feel like I didn't matter as much as my brother.
Sure. Yeah.
And it made me feel, there were moments in my life where it made me feel like I had to pretend to be sick, because that was the way that I got attention from my parents.
Interesting. I've had a bit of that in my house. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so I became best friends with the school nurse who used to call up my mum and be like, Madeline's here again.
Yeah.
And really, there'd be nothing wrong with me. But I used to tell the most wild lies and make up these incredible stories because I thought that's what I needed to kind of be seen in my family when I was younger.
Yeah.
I think
and so when I was
– Yes, sorry. No, go.
When I was 9 years old, I turned to my friend and I said, how come nobody cares about me?
Aww.
Which is not a question a nine-year-old should be asking. Like, nine-year-olds, like, you should be the center of your own universe.
Annoyingly
so. Yes.
And so my friend and I actually started running fundraising events when we were nine to raise money for the siblings of sick kids.
Wow.
And it was then that I was like, hey, look, people are kind of paying attention to me and seeing me not as my brother's sister but as this, like, little kid that can change the world. And I was like, that's pretty bloody cool. And that's kind of where it started. And then when I was 14, my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer and so added that caring role into the family. And my dad and I became this incredible, like, unbreakable team. He'll tell you that I went for a few years with barely talking to him because I was a teenager.
But
and so when my mum was going through treatment, I jumped onto Dr. Google because as a 14, 15-year-old, no one was talking to me. Even though I'm the one in the household who's helping mum at home, and that doesn't make any sense. And off the back of that, decided that we wanted to kind of create an organization that actually impacts lives of children providing unpaid care and so launched Little Dreamers when I was 16.
Wow, you were 16.
16.
What a woman.
So how long has it been going?
So it's been 21 years since we ran our first fundraiser and 14 years since we officially launched Little Dreamers.
Wow, Maddie.
Oh, and so is it your full-time job?
It is now, yeah.
So how long, what was that progression?
Been my full-time job for, it'll be 6 years in August.
Wow.
So it was a long time before I started getting paid.
How did you start? What was your first sort of vision? Were you like, am I going to have a group? Am I going to have one-on-one support? How did you,
When we launched Little Dreamers, we launched with one program, which was we wanted to make dream experiences come true for young carers.
Right.
So my brother had got a starlight dream or starlight wish when he was a kid, and I was very sulky and jealous the entire time. We went to Monkey Maya in Western Australia.
Amazing.
He wanted to swim with the dolphins. Yeah, exactly. I was just this moody teenager the entire time we were away because I was like, it's all about him, it's all about him, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, how cool would it be if we could do that for kids who provide care in their family? So that's what we launched with.
That we have a starlight wish for my daughter and we got a dog, which was amazing, but I couldn't have given the dog just to her because I knew that would break the other's hearts. So I just said, thank you for going through all you went through for our whole family to get this dog.
It
was a really hard decision because actually what she had been through was really rough.
Yeah.
And so I would have loved her to just have that dog for her, but I had to for everyone.
No, I get that.
That's probably your dog anyway. Let's be honest.
Pretty much. Yeah, we're Bluetoothed. Thanks, Master Dog.
She loves you.
Okay, so you launched Dreams, and then where did you find people?
Yeah, how do you fund that as well?
How do we fund it? And how do we find them? Great. And I think those two are kind of probably intertwined even. The funding we used to, when we first started, we ran fundraising events. So we launched with a cocktail party.
Right.
Which knew a lot about at 16.
Seriously. So I thought
you should have had a choir comp.
I thought we would launch with a cocktail party because I thought that would make me seem older.
Yeah.
And it would, I was like, people are going to take me seriously because I ran a cocktail party.
Yep.
I remember going to get my hair done and everything for that cocktail party.
Cute.
And at the same time, I'd broken my thumb. And so I had like a plaster cast on my hand at our launch event. And I think I looked like this like try hard teenager who was like trying to be all professional but also had a plaster cast on her hands. But yeah, so we launched with a fundraising event, and then we used to just run fundraising events. So we ran, we've run an annual trivia night fundraiser since kind of 2011. So since not long after we started. And we started applying for grant applications in probably 2016, 2017. So we'd been around for kind of 7 years, but we went through a point where we had to ask our board members to chip in to pay for our insurance because we could not even afford to cover the cost of our insurance. We've come a long way since then, which is amazing, and a very big thanks to quite a few individual philanthropists and also government support. I am very lucky that when I wanted to kind of try my hand at doing this full time, we had a group of donors from Sydney who I'd gone up to pitch to launch our school holiday programs up in Sydney. And they turned around and said, how much would it cost for you to actually quit your job?
Wow.
And they paid for my salary for the first 3 years.
Oh, goodness.
Of being able to be employed. It was amazing. And so we've had to work really hard. Young carers are not, just like they're not often seen in a family structure and community, they're also not often seen when it comes to donations.
Of course.
Invisible. Government. So, exactly. So we've had to not only fight for funding for young carers, but also fight for funding for little dreamers, which has been an interesting kind of two sides of the same coin. And finding people, I guess, we very early started partnering with other community organizations. We partner with Make-A-Wish, and Make-A-Wish is a great example. They will grant the wishes for the sick children, and then they'll send their siblings through to us.
Perfect.
Yeah, so there's lots of organizations like that that we partner with now, but also we get applications from schools, from social workers, from hospitals. But a lot of that was literally picking up the phone to, say, Monash Children's Hospital, to their school that they have in the hospital, and saying, my name's Maddie, I run this charity, I'd love to come and meet with you and talk to you about young carers. And we have community engagement coordinators now in Victoria and New South Wales. So we're very lucky. We now have staff on the ground in Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland.
That's incredible.
And we have a community engagement coordinator per state, and it's their sole job is to build relationships with other community organisations.
Yes, incredible, Maddie.
So you must...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You must have to try and get a lot of funding. That must be a huge part of your job.
It is the majority of my job. Yeah. So we need a minimum now of, and this is wild to think about, a minimum of $3 million a year just to run our organization. Yeah. And we have ridiculously long wait lists now, which I hate wait lists.
Yeah.
You don't contact a not-for-profit or ask for support to get support in 6 months. You ask for support when you need it.
Yeah. You're probably desperate by the time you're calling
up. Well, yeah, I called, and so I've been through the initial stuff with my 12-year-old, so that's very exciting. And just even I'm crying on the phone to the person who, and I said, does she qualify? And she said, yes. And I was like, okay. So my 12-year-old's been a bit reluctant. That's always
that's the
tricky thing, because I think this will be so good for you.
Yeah.
But she's like, I don't want to. So, what do you do about stuff like that?
Well, I mean, I think back to when I was 12, and if someone had said to me, go and hang out with all these kids, they're similar to you, I would have been like, Nope.
Yeah.
So we our programs are all about making sure that kids who provide unpaid care, and when I say kids, I really shouldn't call them kids. It's anyone between the ages of 4 and 25.
Yeah, so awesome.
We work with young people, young adults across the whole spectrum, but we try and make sure that they have access to the childhood that every child deserves.
Yeah.
So all of our programs range from really fun kind of respite opportunities that don't really have anything to do with talking about your caring role, but just acknowledging that everyone in that space has a caring role, right through to kind of peer support programs where you really talk about and explore your caring role, and personal development programs kind of 14 and up, where you really do talk about how does my caring role impact my sense of identity and my ability to figure out who I am and what I want to be in this world.
Tutoring, so that made me cry tutoring. When they offered tutoring. I thought, what? And then I thought, that is so...
Well, it's like a tricky time after school.
Definitely.
And I think definitely a time when siblings can get left behind.
Yep.
Definitely, definitely.
Our tutoring program is actually really interesting. So we built that during COVID. We knew all of our families were calling us saying, I don't have time to help my child with learning from home. And
yes.
I'm kind of trying to balance both of my kids or for kids who were caring for parents. Also, like, they might not have that support within their home environment while we were learning from home. And so we launched it as a temporary solution, and we actually launched it with no funding. We were like, we just need to find some way to support kids in their education at the moment. And it was so wildly popular that we've continued it. And we now have hundreds of kids going through tutoring right across the country. And it doesn't really matter where you live because our tutoring programs are online.
Yes. It's so amazing, Maddie.
God bless Zoom and Microsoft Teams. And as much as we hate them, they're also incredible. Yeah. So clever. And I think... For as a parent, I mean, my twins were my youngest, so I think it was slightly easier to explain to their siblings, but not perfect. We've had lots of big, in-depth, teary conversations about it now with them as adults. But I think I know that my time, they came first. That there was just no other way around it. There's nothing we could do about it. And as a parent, to think, oh, I could have introduced them to something like this where they could have found other. They did find, they gravitated towards friends who had similar siblings, but, oh, would have been incredible.
It's really funny you mentioned that because one of my best friends in the whole world, in fact, quite a few of my close friends happen to be young carers or happen to have had caring roles in their families, and that was not something we knew when we became friends. I think very specifically about my friend Amelia, and she'll kill me for telling this story, but we became absolute best of friends at uni, and then it turned out that she had previously had care responsibilities in her family, and Amelia and I we just clicked. And she's been like, I'm her biggest cheerleader, she's my biggest cheerleader now, and it's such a beautiful friendship because not once have we ever had to explain
The best,
but we didn't know when we became friends how special that would be. And I'm so grateful every day that I now have friends in my life that I know have care responsibilities and we can talk about that because you never need to explain anything. But I didn't have that when I was at school.
It's massive.
It's lonely.
And were you able to invite friends over? Because I know that's something challenging in my home, and it was in Kate's home too.
Yes, I did. I'm very lucky. My family, if you saw any members of my family, and I've now had caring roles for my brother, my mum, my dad, my grandma, like the whole spectrum. If you were to walk into any of my family's homes, you wouldn't know. And I am very, I mean, there's pros and cons to that, right?
Yeah, like, invisibility is really tricky as well. People don't support you.
No.
And everyone's like, oh, your mum works full time and your brother... My brother runs a pottery business, like a ceramic studio now, which is so cool. But people like, he's like a functioning adult, and he is 90% of the time. But when he's not and he needs that support, and there's still a lot of support and care that I need to provide in my family, and that invisibility does make it hard.
Oh, it does,
I am I am lucky that I was able to have friends over. I did go through a period, especially when my mum was really sick, that I didn't have friends over.
We couldn't bring germs in the house.
Exactly. Couldn't bring germs in the house. Was very conscious of my family being immunocompromised, but also I just ran away from home a lot because
it's hard. You want to avoid it.
Hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for an adult to understand cancer and the ramifications, but a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
A 14-year-old, you know, you just
want... One of your most vulnerable ages.
Yeah, and you want... Look, that's the age where everything is about you, you know.
Yeah.
You want to be cracking the sads because someone didn't ask you to something or, you know, that bitchy girl at school or whatever, and then you can't come home and say that to your mum who's just had treatment.
Yeah.
My very first boyfriend broke up with me on the same day my mum came home from her first round of treatment of chemo, and we were in year nine, people don't think about these things, but I remember coming home that day and my mum was so unwell, and like she was asleep in her bed and I couldn't tell my heart was broken for the first time and I couldn't talk to my mum about it. And so it's so interesting when you think about going through those milestones in your life and and how having a caring role or having someone in your family who requires extra care, how that can impact kind of every area of your life.
You really have the feeling of, I don't want to burden you with this because you've got so many burdens. But actually, as a child, those things are really important, and it's how you learn. You know, you wanted to hop in bed with your mum, have a cry, and for her to say, you're heartbroken, but he was never worth it.
Yeah,
you
but
know.
She was so unwell.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, tricky. Life is tricky.
It really, really is. Go.
So what, you've got this program up and running, everything's awesome. What have you got, like, big dreams that I'd like to also do this?
I have such big dreams, which is funny because we're called Little Dreamers.
You need to change your name.
We have our Big Dreamers program for 14 to 18-year-old young carers. So, I mean, it's insane to think about the fact that we now run programs that I'm not at. We ran our very first Young Carers Festival in Queensland a few weeks ago, and there were 200 people there, and they were 200 people that I'd never had any contact with, and it was so much bigger than me, and that was always my dream, that Little Dreamers was bigger than one person. And it's so surreal to see that happening in reality now. But, I mean, I want Little Dreamers hubs and programs on the ground in every state and territory in Australia. And then I mean, Little Dreamers USA would be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, I reckon. It's got a good ring to it.
There's no young carer, no real programmatic young carer support in the US. There's one organization in Florida, which is incredible, and they're doing amazing work. But there's a huge caring crisis in the US. Something like that, or Little Dreamers New Zealand is probably a little bit more achievable than Little Dreamers US,
lots of key peas.
Yes, definitely. Lots of listeners. I remember when the first lockdowns, and my daughter's a Special Olympics athlete, and Special Olympics organized for all the families and siblings to come and have the first injection, the first COVID injection. And it was the first time for a long time that my other daughters were sort of in a room with other siblings. And it was just, I could have stayed there all day.
Yeah.
I was like, they love their brother, they love their sister, everyone's here together. It's just magic stuff that's very hard to find. It's hard to access it.
Young people who grow up with caring roles in their family are spectacular humans.
They have,
like, you think about all of the skills and strengths that caring embeds in you. You think about empathy and resilience and multitasking.
Organization.
And, like, my ability to compartmentalize things is, like, next level. And I'm like, I'll have to deal with that later. And I am 100% certain that young people with caring roles are going to change the world.
I think so.
They just need to have they just need to be nurtured a little bit to remind them about how important they are as individuals. Rather than how important they are to the caring role that they have.
That's right. Yeah, the two are separate, and I have become more and more aware of that. Probably the podcast has given me that, and definitely, you know, taken my kids aside and said, you're amazing because of this. That has nothing to do with how awesome they are with their brothers or,
Also, I think there's been, I've done lots of learning over the years about making sure they don't feel responsible for their sister.
That's right.
You know, so saying, okay, yes, she has an intellectual disability. Yes, she will need people to be looking out for the rest of her life. We will do the best we can as her parents. It's not your job.
Yeah, we'll find other people.
We'll find other people. We'll be setting her up for success.
Yeah.
You know, trying to tell them that all the way along.
And that's what makes some, I mean, most families very special. Not every young person has that kind of support and guidance in their family, and we need to make sure that those young people also have access to incredible people like you and platforms like this where they are shown that there are other people who care about them as well, and that there are systems and services that they can help them navigate those tricky points where they might become the sole carer in their family.
Yes, because I think culturally there's differences in that. So,
And it's normal.
Yeah.
It's normal to feel conflicted. Like, I love my sister or brother or mum or whatever more than anything, but they're also pissing me off because, you know, I like to watch my show on TV. Right?
We don't all want to have nuggets again for dinner.
No, that's right. Yeah. We want something different in our life. I'd like to be able to turn Triple J's Hottest 100 on, but I know my sibling is having a really tricky day. So all those things that go unseen, it's nice to know, oh, other people feel like this.
It's
just
the burden of sharing, the burden that's get lifted is just incredible.
The trickiness of holidays. We can't holiday like other families. We're not a we're not a water skiing family. We've got a person with cerebral palsy. How do we manage that, you know, those sort of things?
I've got goosebumps as you're talking because, like, every example you're saying about things, I'm like, yes, that's me. Yes, that's my family. Yes, that's kids that we speak to. And I've got goosebumps because, and going back to your question earlier about why I love being a part of this community is because your caring roles might be so different. They might be worlds apart. But the feelings and experiences and emotions that carers have often very, very similar. And I think that's one of the other reasons why this community is so special. And I know I said that before, but you can have conversations with people who've grown up caring for a child with an intellectual disability, and I can have conversations growing up caring for my mum who has cancer.
Yes.
And those experiences are different, but the feelings and the things you go
all
through
the same.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I know a big loss in our house is sleepovers, even though I hate them and I call them wakeovers. But what my daughter with a disability will be going away in the holidays, so I said to her 12-year-old sister, we will have a sleepover that weekend. Lock it in.
Yep.
As many friends as you want. We have to take these opportunities when we can.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
our sister cannot manage that.
Yeah, it's tricky.
So, trying to be aware of those little things, trying to be present, even though I don't want 5 12-year-olds in my house, really.
No.
But I will. And it'll be called the wakeover.
Make a pillow for it.
Yeah, okay.
Get away from me.
Where
there's a noise cancelling pillow.
Yes.
Noise cancelling pillow fort. Exactly.
Yeah. And also the other thing that in our house is having support workers in our home. So I know my oldest daughter has had times where she's like, "Can we just have a break?"
Yeah, I don't want that person.
Because
in
during
house.
The pandemic, we had support workers every day, and so that never occurred to me because they help me. But in terms of being a person in our house. Sick of having to be polite and meet the new support workers, all those
having
sorts of things.
Having to get dressed or whatever it is.
I just didn't think about that at all, actually.
There's so many layers to it. But there are supports out there for these young people and we need to make sure that as young carers or as kids providing or young people providing care, that they know that there is support out there for them as well.
Yes.
Just like there's support workers out there for people who need them, that there are support services out there for young people with caring roles, and that it's okay for them to access that. It's okay for them to ask for help themselves.
Yes.
And lots of people are.
Oh, man. We could talk to you on and on all day. It's so exciting. I feel like nominating you for Australian of the Year. Young Australian of the Year.
Awesome.
Yeah, everyone should go and do that right now, okay? Because we were nominated, so that's why we know about it. But, this is where these things then get national attention.
Yeah, that's right. We need more attention on this.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
you deserve it. I'm gonna go and make sure that you're nominated again. So
no, we don't want to win it.
We're done now. We're award free.
We lose all the awards, and we're quite happy with that. So,
but look, someone did buy us a packet of hundreds and thousands to make fairy bread. So
yeah.
I don't know if many other people get that.
We get all sorts of wonderful things.
Yes, we do.
So we're fine.
We are fine.
Very nice. I was actually saying it at the office the other day that we should run after work drinks for companies where we style it as a welcome back to your childhood.
Yes.
And so we have cocktails because it's after work drinks, but
pasta,
you also have like a face painter,
yes,
and fairy bread and pasta, yeah, and like, and people pay to donate to Little Dreamers.
Yes.
Because Little Dreamers is like a
childhood,
like making sure you have access to your childhood and doing that at work.
That's a great
idea.
Oh,
that sounds fantastic.
Honestly, every CEO with a handful of cheesels, fingers full.
That's a great idea, Maddie.
That is
that
a great
can
idea.
Take off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is so great. You've got the space to be able to you to dream about these things as well.
Mm.
Yeah, not always. I mean, sometimes my care role has fluctuations and it flares up and I have no capacity to do anything. And sometimes work flares up and there are staffing issues and program issues and deliverables and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And my brain just goes into shutdown mode. But I am very lucky that I have this job where I do get to dream really big and I get
created
to see that. Exactly. And I get to see that as a reality and I get to work with some phenomenal humans at Little Dreamers, but also get to meet some really, really incredible kids and young people every day.
So if people want to find you, tell us where they can find you.
Yes. So you can find us. Our website is littledreamers.org.au. And if you want to find us on social media, we are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, everyone goes Twitter.
Facebook and Instagram at Little Dreamers Australia.
Yes, fantastic.
That'll be in the show notes.
We will put it in the show notes, definitely. Mm. And I think you will be inundated.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you. I mean, that's exactly what Little Dreamers is for, right?
Yeah.
The communities like this.
Yes.
For incredible young people. And, I mean, bring it on.
And we also have listeners that are generous. Philanthropically, we have awesome people that listen. Mm. Is there anything we've missed that you want to tell the world?
If you live in a family with a young carer or you know someone who's a young carer, my one piece of advice is that you always make sure how you ask how they are before you ask how the person they care for is. And it's always really hard because often when people say, how's things, how are you? And I'll go, oh, yeah, mum's got three broken ribs at the moment or Charlie's in hospital, whatever. But my one piece of advice to everyone is make sure you ask how they are and give them the space to talk about how they're feeling before they respond with how the rest of their family's coping at the moment.
Yeah, and to be seen.
And to be seen and heard and acknowledged and recognised and
powerful. Yeah, that's good advice. Very good advice.
Thank you, Maddie. Yes. Congratulations on building this incredible, incredible opportunity for all our young carers in Australia. Mm. And let's see it go to the world, hey?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me and thank you for building this community and for profiling young carers.
Yes, of course.
We're super proud. You're a legend.
Thank you, Maddie. See you.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.